Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Freedomizer Radio on this glorious Saturday. This 3-hour time.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Freedomizer Radio on this glorious Saturday. This 3-hour time slot brings you the Sabbath Hour with Brother Gregory, and the second and third hour features Team Free State. And today, our special guest, Rosalind Peterson. Enjoy the show.
Sabbath Hour. I don't know if I missed the introduction or not. I didn't hear it, but I thought Cheryl was going to be on to give an introduction about the whole hour. Did you already speak?
I did. I took care
of
that.
Did.
Thank you very much.
Okay. You know, I dialed in just before the program began, and they put me on an absolutely blank spot, and I heard nothing. And then all of a sudden, I was disconnected, and then I had it on redial, so dialed right away and went right to the music. So you couldn't have had a very long announcement before that.
No, it wasn't very long.
Okay,
no.
Well, we'll have another announcement maybe at the break where we'll mention about the rest of the program and who you're going to have on. And then also at the end of the show so that in case people come in late, they realize there's more to the show.
Anyway.
Anyway, I guess we could end up having some calls. We had 2.5 hours this morning on the subject of money. I was pretty hard on our listeners, but they kept coming back. We had a pretty good chat room group. So we'll see. I won't be as hard on your group, but I'll tell them a little bit more about what money is all about and what it's not all about. And one of the reasons why we address this issue from the point of view of the church is found in a quote by John Adams in a letter to Thomas Jefferson, which says, all the perplexities, confusion, and distress in America rise from downright ignorance of the nature of coin, credit, and what he calls circulation. And I think a lot of that is still true to this day. Which is what I often find out in history is that most of the problems we've had before, and before that, and before that. And we need to understand that if we don't go and learn about the problem and what really worked as a solution, we're never going to find a real solution for any of the problems we have today. And in the study of history is really more a study of our future, because history will repeat itself. And we can't do anything about that, but what we can do is determine what side of the equation of history we're going to be on. The part that is swallowed up and devoured and enslaved and abused and drained, or the part that is set free. Because that's what Abraham, Moses, and Jesus Christ were all about. They were actually talking about how to set men free in the present world that we live in. In the reality in which we exist, to set them free in spirit and in truth, not just set you free for some time after you die. Christ is very clear, the kingdom of heaven is for the living, not for the dead. He was very clear that he was taking the kingdom away from some people who were ruling over the people, and he was going to give it to ones that bore fruit. Well, how do you bear fruit in a free government? Well, the people become more virtuous, more diligent, more caring, more efficient. And in the modern scheme of government, people are becoming weaker and less efficient, less moral, and that's because we have designed a government after the government of Cain, Lamech, Nimrod, and the city-states, Pharaoh, and what Caesar turned Rome into, and not designed it according to the ways of Abraham, Moses, Jesus Christ, John the Baptist, and other men who created pure republics in their lifetime by simply telling people how government works. Well, one major part of government today is money, so we're going to talk a lot about money. And one of the definitions of money is any medium of exchange that is widely accepted in payment for goods and services and in settlement of debts. Now, what's the difference between payment and settlements of debts? Wouldn't it be payments for goods or payments of debt? No, because most of the money that we use today to pay debts with by law cannot pay debts. You don't pay a debt with a note. You cannot pay a debt with a note. Stanek versus White. It's just not the reality. A note is a note, a promise to pay. So if you give somebody a note in payment to settle a debt between you and them, you still haven't paid that debt until the note is realized into some sort of substantive payment. And this is one of the great problems with the modern so-called money system that we have. It settles debt, but it does not pay debt, so a portion of the debt remains. And so therefore nobody owns their home, nobody owns their house, nobody owns their car, nobody owns anything. That's one aspect of the money system that we have created amongst ourselves today. And we have created it because people have, our fathers and forefathers have elected congressmen and senators, and they've created a Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve prints money, and those monies have an obligation with them. And because of that and other subsequent acts of the people, by virtue of the authority of acts of the government, people have gone back into the bondage of Egypt. They've become collateral for debt. And I talked about it on the earlier shows today about it used to be that we had a human resource department because we were all human resources. We went from free men to being resources. Well, now I actually find in talking with people working for the government, postal employees and Forest Service workers, they're now referring to the employees not simply human resources but actually capital. They even call them human capital. You don't want to be human capital. There's not a big stretch of imagination between human capital and cattle. That's what people have become. They've become human capital. And the money system is very much a part of that. Ultimately, the core of the problem is us as individual spiritual and physical creatures upon the earth that we haven't been tending to the weightier matters that Jesus listed off. And nobody seems to know what he said because none of the preachers address that. But so we're going to, again, I said, we're going to focus on money. Money is the just medium of measure of all commutable things. For by the medium of money, a convenient and just estimation of all things is made. And I'm quoting here from an article that we wrote, and that article is quoting from many other articles. That particular one is actually a translation of, I won't give you the Latin, but it's a translation of a Latin phrase to understand money, because they were having trouble understanding it back in the days of the Caesars, because they eventually thought, well, we can take all the silver out of the silver coin, and we'll just make them out of iron coin, and they'll still be just as valuable. Well, that didn't work very good, and runaway inflation eventually caused mass starvation and economic collapse. But it was great for the Christians because the Christians knew that that was a bunch of hooey. Christians today, what we call Christians or modern Christians, they haven't got a clue because their ministers have all been asleep at the pulpit and everybody else went to sleep in the pews. And so, you know, I'm out here banging the drum of Christ, trying to tell people what he was really talking about. And really what he was trying to talk about is how to set men free. And the idea of taking the silver out of the silver coins of the United States and making them iron coin is just following after the ways of Hitler. And, of course, it was the Democratic Party and men like FDR who thought that was a great idea. And he was a democratic socialist, which is the same as what Adolf Hitler was a democratic socialist. That's what Nazi stands for, is the Democratic Socialist Party. And Hitler said, gold in the hands of the public is the enemy of the state. And evidently FDR thought the same thing. I was talking to someone whose father worked for Hitler, and I pointed out to him, you know, FDR and Hitler were on the same side. They were on the side of democratic socialism. And Marx was on the same side as them because he thought socialism was great. He thought democracy was great because democracy leads to socialism and socialism leads to communism. So all these guys were taking the people in the same direction. The war was just to give us something to do so we wouldn't need to see what was really going on. And millions of men die in these wars, and during that, evil makes its greatest inroads because we lose sight of what is really going on. Another definition, payment is the fulfillment of a promise. So when you give somebody a note, you have not fulfilled the promise. You've just exchanged one promise for another. Back to Stanek versus White, you cannot pay a debt with a note. A portion of the debt remains, and that's called hypothecation, and that, again, is why nobody owns their property. You know, you have legal title, but legal title does not include, by definition, I'm reading right out of the definition, I'm not reading it, I've got it memorized, but legal title does not include beneficial interest. Beneficial interest is the right to use the property. So you have legal title to a car, legal title to a house, legal title to a piece of property. You don't have the right to use it because legal title doesn't include beneficial interest or beneficial use.
Things that I had no idea what those things meant, and you put things in such an interesting perspective. I just can't tell you enough how much I appreciate you being here.
Well, I'm glad somebody does. There's a chat room with this program, I guess, which is easy to get to. I'm not on that website right now, so if anybody wants to get in the chat room and ask a question, and I guess there's a phone number, which is the same number I called in, so I could give that out now.
Yes, you can. Okay.
I can give that out. I got it right here. 347-324-3704. So if anybody has any questions, they can call in with those questions. But we're going to try to get to a lot of things, a lot of perspectives that people just don't understand about money. Let's go right to the golden calf. People think, oh, well, we don't bow down and worship idols because we don't have a golden calf. As a matter of fact, everybody does bow down and worship idols, and they do it every day. Exactly what those people were doing wrong when they created the golden calf. And all Americans have done this, and they've done it a long time ago, but they're not even as smart about it as the people were at the time of Moses. And they've already gone way past those guys screwing up. And what it was is those people, when they left Egypt, they were showered with gold and silver by the people. But more than that, they actually had possession. If you read Philos, they actually owned the gold. You remember when they went into bondage, all the gold was in the hands of the government, Pharaoh. And what did people use as money when all the gold was in the hands of the government? Well, they used little scarabs, clay scarabs. They also used rice paper, but clay scarabs was the most permanent form of money. And there would be little markings on it which tell you the denomination. Even a blind man could hold the clay scarab and know what value it had. And that was used as an exchange for goods and services. And those markings were put on there by the government because all the money was issued by the government. And they used that as an exchange amongst themselves, but it really didn't have much value outside of Egypt, although some people would take it. But the farther away from Egypt you were, the less likely they would be interested in those scarabs. So it demanded a certain amount of loyalty. If you just took off across the desert with a bunch of scarabs in your pocket, the farther you got away from Egypt, the less value that money would have. And it would depreciate immediately, kind of like driving a new car off the lot. Suddenly it's worth less because you just drove it onto the street. So as soon as you leave Egypt, the money is worth less. But this was a common way in which city-states demanded the loyalty of the people, is by keeping all the gold and silver in a single depository. Well, if you're moving around, you're not going to be moving around with a giant vault. So that what they did was they melted it all down and pounded it out into leaf, and then they put that leaf onto a statue, and that statue sat in the middle of the town or in a building sometimes, but you could keep an eye on it. If there was a horn missing, somebody robbed a bank. And that's what that was. That was a central depository of all the valuable commodities you had that were easily portable. And if enemies attacked and you decided to flee instead of fight and not staying to defend your neighbor, you could, if you had your money in your pocket, you could just take off over the hill with a handful of gold coins and you'd still be wealthy wherever you showed up. But if all your gold was in the golden calf, your loyalty was commanded, because if you left, you left a pauper. Now, you might still leave, but you had an investment, and that kept you loyal. Moses said, no, you can't have a free society with that kind of loyalty. You need to carry your gold and silver in your pockets, in your own purse, and not put it into a central treasury like Athens did, and all the Corinth and many of these other city-states. They all had golden statues. They even called it the reserve fund in Athens. And occasionally during war, they'd be sawing off part of the statue, melting it down into coin to pay the army. That's what the golden statue was all about. It wasn't about any superstition or a bunch of ladies dancing around a golden calf like they do in the Hollywood movies. These guys were a lot more practical. They were dealing with a lot more serious problems. And the idea of putting all your wealth into a central spot where somebody can come in and steal it, or thieves and robbers, you know, can make more scarabs than is reasonable until inflation eats up your value of what's in your pocket, that's what you don't want. And that's what Christ preached again. Don't have the central treasury. Have the money in your pocket, because that's the way they were going at the time of Christ too. And that's why Ephesus was a world bank, and the Christians were accused of robbing it. It had the largest depository of any and most secure vault in all the Mediterranean. And Christ said, no, the vault should be in the homes of every household. And that's where the money should be kept. And one of the things we talked about in an earlier program was the idea of who issues the money. Should government have the right to issue money? People say, well, government has always issued money. Balderdash. That's the politest word I can use to describe that idea. I've got a few others I could use, but we won't do that on the air. I don't usually do that anyway. But that is a bunch of hooey. I can put that on my garden and grow tomatoes. That is ridiculous. Money has always been issued by the people. This idea that only government issues money is a recent aberration in history. Yes, it happened in the time of Rome. You see the Roman golden coins with the emperor's face on it. Most people don't realize it, that those golden coins actually belong to the emperor. He made them because it was his gold. It wasn't government gold, it was his gold. And he made those coins and invested it in things like harbors, roads, trade centers, coliseums, and then charged people to go to those coliseums, roads, harbors, etc. And they had to pay the fees in what? That coin. So that would go back to him plus interest. And it made his coins even more valuable than the gold itself, because it was stamped by him. Now, if you look up the definition of coin, it'll give you several definitions, and the most predominant one we find in our dictionaries today is this, you know, metal that is stamped by an authority. Well, the first dollars were thalers, were come out of a silver mine, I think, in Saxony. And it was stamped by the proper authorities, which was the owner of the mine.
Mm-hmm.
Money should be produced by the people, by the individual. If you're going to have a government of the people, for the people, and by the people, the money should be introduced and produced by them, not by a civil authority created by them, not by the government, but by that individual. Now, the government can regulate certain things like weights and measures. They can say, you know, somewhere in their vault they keep a pound of iron, and they say, this is a pound, and everybody comes there, and they weigh it on a scale, and they make their iron ball, and that's a pound, and we keep this standard. And so they can have those certain standard weights and measures. But when the government says an ounce of gold is worth silver, 20 silver ounces, or now they say an ounce of gold is worth 50 silver ounces, when they can stamp a coin and say that, you're outside of the realm of commodity money. You're no longer in the realm of commodity money. And the only reason they do that is so they can tax you. And so that they can say, this is, you have to pay in the coin of the realm. Well, that's the coin of their realm. We should be paying for things in the coin that we make ourselves. Real coin that we make ourselves. Now, we can also issue notes. For 100 years in this country, most of the notes that were in circulation were issued by private banks. And, I'll just throw in this little bit at this point is that you now live in a cashless society. Americans live in a cashless society. When you go down and give a Federal Reserve note at the grocery store, that's not cash. I mean, we call it cash now, but in 1850, that would not be called cash. That would be called a note. Stores who were cash only would not take a note even from the king himself, because a note is not cash. A note is a note. It's not hard to figure out. So we already live in a cashless society. We've just been dumbed down to thinking that a note is payment, that a note is cash, that a note is money. It can be used as if it was money, but that's only in your mind. That's not the original definitions. And then that we've been ruled by fraudulent ideas that have come to us through our public school that just aren't so. And, you know, we can verify all this in the article Money versus Mammon. We go into it in fairly good detail. Conversion versus reconversion goes into it. Mammon is entrusted wealth. It's not money necessarily. It's just entrusted wealth. If you have notes in your pocket instead of cash, instead of commodity, instead of gold and silver or whatever your commodity is,
right,
those notes in your pocket represent mammon, because you trust the guys who made the notes. Now, I could make a note and I said, this note is worth 2 sheep. To anybody to the bearer of this note, I will give them 2 sheep. And I give them that note, and they go off and they trade it with somebody else for a couple bags of grain. And then that guy brings the note to me and says, I got a note here that says it's worth 2 sheep to the bearer, and I give him the 2 sheep. Well, I created money with that note, but people around here, they would trust me for that because they know I'm good for it. And they could see my sheep running up and down the hills all the time. They look out there, yeah, 2 of those sheep out there are mine when I need them. So, and they just don't have a place to keep them, so I would keep them, and then they come and get it. And that's perfectly okay. That's a private note between me and them. But it can be used as money, and that's okay, but you need to do that in a very limited fashion. You want to have a commodity money. And this is why I brought up this idea of stamping coins. When you stamp a gold coin and say it's worth 20 silver coins, you have said something more on that stamp than that this is an ounce. Anyone who produces bullion, we have someone in the network who's in the business, and they can show you how to set it up so you can produce your own bullion and make your own coins and your own It's not that complicated. It's a pretty simple process. But if you're going to do it right, in order to develop a reputation, you got to be a little thorough about it. But the reality is that they would stamp those coins or the bullion. We'd call them bullion. Coins is developed. Coin can be just a round of any kind of metal whatsoever. But it's become, because they've moved that definition up to the front where it's by a proper authority, it can create the possibility, a cloudy area of legalism that will come in and try to give you a hard time. But if you keep calling it bullion, you're probably okay, or an artifact. But anyway, you make a one-ounce piece of gold in any shape you want. You pour it into a little mold, and then you take a stamping tool and you stamp on it. You weigh it out with good scales, and you say, this is one troy ounce, and I made it. You stamp that on there on this date. You stamp that on there. You don't stamp on there, it's worth 20 silver dollars. So all you're doing is identifying what you made. And now that can go into circulation just like my note for two sheep. And it has value. And the more it circulates around, the more people know. That's, like I say, that's how the dollar got to be called the dollar, is because a guy named Thaler, I may be pronouncing the German wrong, but that's close enough. I have relatives that were Tholens. But anyway, came out of that silver mine, and people trusted it. Now, somebody else who's a silver miner could make a poor quality of it, and they could stamp it and make it look like it come out of Thaler. But if they wrote, put his seal on it, that was a lie. That would be counterfeiting. You know, the guy could take a civil case against the guy for counterfeiting it. But the fact is it's very easy to test the quality of silver and gold, and everybody should know how to do that. And trade with those people you know and trust, and have somebody in your community that knows how to do it and shows you how to do it. And now you're becoming the government of the people, for the people, and by the people, instead of depending on some bureaucracy that you created and said, you go off and create everything for me, and then I'll come by, and then I'll use your money. Now, you don't want to do that. You want to take that responsibility on yourself, and it's easier to do if you come together in small groups of people who work for those long-term kingdom-like goals. This is what Israel did originally. It's when they started looking to some central authority that they got into trouble. And so, anyway, you can see how this money thing can start touching every aspect of your life. If you're walking around using notes instead of actual commodity money, like I said, when a coin is stamped by a governmental authority saying that this coin is worth, you know, an ounce of gold, which is, you know, a dollar is actually a weight of measure. It's a measure of weight. So a dollar of gold is a troy ounce. A dollar of silver would be about a troy ounce. And you can't say, the market determines how many ounces of silver it takes to buy an ounce of gold. If somebody stamps on it, they've stepped outside. It's no longer commodity money. It's now something else. And you want to stay away from that. If there are notes, the note should be signed by an individual saying that I'm responsible for the payment of this note. And you go back to that individual and you deal with it. In the meantime, you could still use Federal Reserve notes and all these other things, but know that it will fail. This is why Jesus was talking about things like the unrighteous mammon. He says, be friends with the unrighteous mammon. Because everybody was in a system much like what we have today. They had moved from a free society into a statutory corvée system of bondage where a portion of their labor belonged to the government. And this had taken place partly during the time of the Hasmoneans, about 78 B.C. There was some more statutes that came down from the Sanhedrin. And by the time of Jesus Christ, after 50 years of Herod's rule, or at least 25 years of Herod's rule, the people were back in the bondage of Egypt again, and they had income tax, property tax, sales tax, everything. And Jesus talked about that system as Corban and unrighteous mammon, And he says, be friends with it. In other words, pay your taxes, the same as Moses said. But start gleaning the field at night for your benefit. Start learning what a free society really looks like. Start learning how to take care of yourself and take back. You want to be free, you have to take back your responsibilities. You don't get your rights by demanding them. You get your rights by demanding to take on the responsibility of those rights. That's how you lost your rights. You gave up your responsibility. You said somebody else is now going to be responsible. So we're at the half-hour mark. I think we need to go into a break here.
We are. Thank you very much. You're listening to the Sabbath Hour here at Freedomizer Radio, and we will be right back.
Are you searching for motivation? Tools for your life? How about some great insights from others who are doing more than just surviving in these economic times, and instead, they're thriving and enjoying life? Well, if you tune into Radio Hour with me, Zebulon Thomas, on Thursday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific, then you're going to get a great new look on today's world and begin changing your life. Only on Freedomizer Radio. For more information, log on to ZebulonThomas.com/Radio Hour. That is ZebulonThomas.com/Radio Hour.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Hi, my name is Levi Thomas. As an artist, I wanted the world to see my art. I created a website that I could share with the world and let them see what I do. What is it that you do? What is it that you want the world to see? Let's get you a website today, custom to fit your needs. StudioOneTree.com, StudioOneTree.com. Or call us today at 978-733-0663. That's 978-733-0663.
This ad is sponsored by StudioOneTree.com. Artwork, prints, graphics, web designs. StudioOneTree.com.
Lindsay Williams on Freedomizer Radio.
Proof negative, I love the title that you use on your radio. I thought about it ever since we talked on off of the air the other day, and I'd say that that's an excellent title for a talk show host.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
We're back, and our host today is Brother Gregory from HisHolyChurch.org, and the subject is money. I didn't know what the subject was going to be today. You surprised me. It's been a subject that banters around quite a bit here on Freedomizer Radio, and it's very interesting to hear your perspective and get just this whole other view. So thank you very much.
I appreciate it. And you wanted to mention something about the fact that there's going to be some more stuff after my hour. Maybe you want to tell them a little bit about that.
Well, we just have a special guest today, Rosalind Peterson. She is an expert in weather modification and how it affects our environment and our health. And she'll be joining us in at 4 Pacific time. It was more important that I, you know, announce that at the very beginning so anybody listening to the re-recording would know that they had reached the right place. So,
right. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Well, just in case somebody came in 5 minutes late, which is often the case in this modern day age, they've heard it. There will be more after our Sabbath hour began. Okay.
Thank you.
Back to the subject of money. Whoever controls the volume of money in any country is absolute master of all industry and commerce. And that was President James Garfield. That's why if you're going to have a free government of the people, for the people, and by the people, you need to have money created by the people, for the people. And that's as simple as that. And I've shown you a couple of ways in which you could do that. But you can also see the almost insurmountable problem that we have in doing that today, because we've gone so far away from what a really free government looks like that we haven't got a clue as to what that free government really is and how it works. We need to change and start changing the way in which we handle these problems. And it's going to take a little while to get that in place. There isn't going to be any sudden little legislation and then boom, wham, we're all free again. You're not going to be able to sign a few papers and then suddenly everybody's free again. We've entered into a huge complex system of debt and adhesion contracts. People like to use the word adhesion. They're constructive contracts. But even a constructive contract over a period of time with debt can become an executed contract. And that's actually what's taking place with the money system. This whole Federal Reserve System was doomed to fail from the beginning. It's not meant to actually pay anybody back. It's meant to bring everybody into debt, because debt is bondage. And that's what it was designed. And it's not a new system. It's an old system. It's a very clever system, but it's not as clever as Christ. And Christ was telling people how to really operate in a free society, but it's only a free society is only for the virtuous. I don't know how many times in the book Higher Liberty I quote early Americans like Adams and Jefferson and Washington, who are constantly saying that a free society is only, a free government is only for the virtuous. And virtue includes having to care about each other as much as you care about yourself. And the idea of giving somebody a note, you know, I've used to go, and my kids used to, well, they thought it was funny for a while, and I'm sure they didn't think it was funny all the time, but they were very patient with me. But we'd be in a store, and I do this mostly when there was a big line behind me. And we would be buying something, and maybe it came to about $80 or something. And after the cash register rang it all up, I said, do you want money for this, or will you take a note? And they look at you just absolutely stunned.
We
have that
it.
Money. And it says, so you won't take a note? And then I hold up a $100 bill. And I said, you won't take a note? And they said, oh, we'll take that. I said, well, this is a note. And then I'll throw a handful of silver coins, maybe a gold coin on the counter. I don't throw a gold coin on the counter anymore, but they're expensive. But I throw that on. I said, this is money. This is a note. So you do take notes. Oh, yeah, we take those notes.
So, we take those.
Anyway, the bigger the crowd, the funner that is. So anyway, sometimes I've actually gathered around me about 15, 20 people right there in the store or gas station and gave them a lecture on what is money and what is not money.
And spread the word.
Spread the word. One gas station at a time. So that's fun. So anyway, that's, and the ramifications of the fact that you're giving not your note in payment for things. You know, it's one thing if you're buying a can of soup at the store. It's another thing if you're buying your property that you're going to live on. You can't pay for that with a note, because then you'll never get the lawful title. And that is cognizable in every court. And that's why your property is now, that is one of the reasons why your property is now under property tax. Americans came here to actually own property. Early settlers came here, the pilgrims came here to actually own the property so that it would not be taxed. They didn't even understand how that worked, but the more they began to learn, they realized that that was important, and they paid off their debts with substance, and they ended up owning property that could not be taxed. But only about a third, not even quite a third, of the Americans were property class. They that actually owned their property and could not be taxed. That was rare to find people who had that endeavor etched in their heart to make it to that point where they actually owned land that could not be taxed. But now there's several layers to this bondage now, not just the land. And if you look up the definition of a free man in today's Oxford Dictionary, it is someone having a freehold title in land. It is someone owning land that cannot be taxed. So how many people do you know that own land that cannot be taxed? I hear lots of claims.
Yeah, I don't know anyone. Not anyone.
Say again?
Personally. I don't know anyone personally.
Okay, yeah, right. Well, we've had a number of people over the years that have made claims that they've got land patents and they don't pay property tax, and people go and buy their land patent package. I know one guy sold at least $100,000 worth of land patent packages over a period of about 5 years, claiming that he never paid taxes. You know, it took us about an hour to investigate that. And we called up the county, we found out where the property was, found out what the legal description was, and called up the county and said, does anybody pay property tax on that land? And the response was, yeah. I said, who? Well, it was a small enough town. They said, well, his mom comes in every year and pays taxes. So that's what was going on. But he was making lots of money selling people land patent packages that were guaranteeing them that they would not have to pay property tax if they filled out all this stuff and jumped it, you know. And of course, he made lots of money doing that. And I know another guy was doing the same thing just recently. It wasn't land patents, but it was something similar. And we caught him. You know, we found out where it was, and we took it to him first, and we said, hey, look, according to them, your dad comes in every year and pays the taxes on this property. And this is the property that looks like you're talking about. Is there another property that you're talking about? Have we made a mistake? We took it straight to the guy, and his response was, who made you a policeman? And he never denied it, and tried to make all kinds of excuses, but the fact is that's the property. There is taxes being paid on, yet he's selling recordings and memberships, all based on the idea that he's off the tax rolls, and he's not. So you have to be very careful about these. Now, I'm not saying everybody is lying about that, but I haven't found anybody I can prove that's telling the truth in any verifiable way on that subject. So there's a lot of charlatans out there. Now, I tell you that there will come a day in America where there will not be property tax and everybody will be free. There will come a day that will be true. That's my personal prophecy. I don't know when that's going to happen, but I don't think it's all that far away. But everybody's not going to survive freedom. They're just not going to survive it because they haven't taken on the responsibilities of freedom. And one of those responsibilities is to develop your own money system. But that money system must be based on sound law, where the value of the money is in your pocket. If you have a note, according to the biblical principles, you shouldn't let the debt set on a debt. I mean, the night, sun set on a debt. But in the case of when I gave you the example of a note from me that I owe you 2 sheep, I don't usually do that. But, I could see that might be reasonable for somebody who doesn't have a place to keep the sheep and they're going to have a sheep later on and I'll hold on to it for them. But that's a personal trust thing. I would much rather tell them, well, just you know, make a trade when you can. But, you know, I have done trades with people that have gone on for over a year before we finally settled up. But those are personal agreements. And so, but there's all kinds of things at your disposal to make these exchanges. Here's a question. Why do you pay gold or silver for land? I mean, Abraham made it very clear. He owned no land. He was extremely wealthy. He was considered the prince of a kingdom. He was married to Sarai and Haggai. And Haggai was an Egyptian princess. She wasn't just some slave. Yet he owned no land. The only land he bought as a cemetery plot. And there's a whole reason for this. And we go into that in the book, Thy Kingdom Come. But the point is, they go, the guy who was going to give him the land said, I'll just give it to you. And he says, no, we have to do this right according to the law. And he counted out the silver in front of witnesses. Why silver for the land? Well, it's really simple. Silver is land. Silver is dirt. Gold is dirt. It's just highly refined dirt. You know, compost is dirt. It takes a lot more compost to equal the value of a gold coin. So a gold coin is portable land. You can put 10 gold coins in your pocket or 20 gold coins in your pocket and you walk around. That's worth near $40,000. It's getting so that the gold coin is less bulky than the paper notes. People used to say, yeah, well, you know, coin is so bulky, I'll carry around. Give me some bulk. I'll take the bulk. Because right now, you know, a single gold coin, I don't know what it is, $1,700, $1,900. I mean, it's been up that high. And it's probably going to go $3,000, $4,000. Now, I'm not an advocate of everybody going out and buying gold. I'm an advocate of the kingdom. And the kingdom is to getting together in a network of people that have the same values, have the same virtues, have the same principles, who care about your rights as much as they care about their own, because that's people willing to take back their responsibilities. Because those are the people that you're going to need. Now, you're going to find those people also interested in things like gold and silver money. You're also find them interested in commodity exchange. But the important thing is the virtue that they're going to have for each other. I tell you, if we were doing what Christ was doing, what Abraham was doing, what John the Baptist was doing, if the Christians, all the people claiming to be Christians, were really doing what the early church was doing, you wouldn't have all this weather modification now. You wouldn't have all this injustice in the courts now. I know of a guy who's, I won't even say what state he's in, but they don't like it that he's homeschooling. And so they're trying to trump up a deal where they force his son to go to their public schools. And they're trying to legislate from the bench. And the judge hadn't done it yet, but the judge is twisting his arm a little bit and making life a little difficult for him, to say the least. Every single church in that community should skip going to church on Sunday or Sabbath and get down there to the courthouse on Monday morning and say to the judge, what is the deal here? This is a good guy. He's a hardworking guy. He's taking care of his family. And why are you giving him a hassle? And, but they're not. Say again?
That would be the right thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah, but getting churches to do the right thing, it's like trying to get a Baptist to dance.
My goodness. My goodness. Well, we do spend a lot of time on our programs, on the Free State program that starts at 4 today, and also on Freedom Reign, speaking about the Regal system, or the Regal Exchange, which is an exchange of value between people as opposed to Federal Reserve notes. So this really falls into a lot of things that we talk about here on Freedomizer Radio. So
right, and you know, that's partly why I brought this subject up, is that I heard, you know, I came in the last little bit of your show last week, and after, you know, I had to go and do some errands, and then I came back and tried to catch a little bit of it, and I listened to them Lawrence, I think it was, talking about the Regal system, and then I went to the website and read a little bit of it. And the thing is that we don't want, you don't, if you want to maintain a free society, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. There's lots of different ways in which you can operate and exchange and make exchanges. And a substantive money in your pocket is really the best way to go. In transition, there may be a number of other things, but you also have to have the realization that most of the people in the country, I mean, like I was showing with my one gas station at a time approach to explaining money, most people haven't got a clue. They are not going to change over, and they don't have to change over. Most people do not want to be free. Most people do not want the responsibility of freedom. So whatever you do, you have to realize that it's going to, in order for it to grow, it has to start at a grassroots level and start working amongst people who are actually taking the time. And this is what's really hard to find, is the people who are actually taking the time to be free as a society. All kind, you know, Moses did not take people to the edge of the desert and say, you're free, run for it, one at a time. He taught the people how to come together and take care of one another in time of famine, in time of shortages, in time of difficulty. And then, once they learned how to do that and operate as a free society without looking to the welfare of the governments who exercise authority one over the other, the same exact thing that Christ was talking about from the beginning to the end of the New Testament, then they were ready to be free. Had they just left right away, it would have been like herding cats across the desert. And a number of us have joked about this. Somebody pointed out, I said it's like herding cats because, you know, they don't stick together and everything's running every different direction and they're all independent. And he says, well, it's not hard to herd cats with a can of tuna. You just pull that tuna can out there, and they keep on coming. And so then out of that little chuckle that we all got from them, and I said, so what you want us to do is create a tuna republic. But like Marx said, democracy, he loves democracy because it leads to socialism, and socialism leads to the communism. Well, a tuna republic leads to democracy. Democracy leads to socialism. Because you cannot lead people by offering them a benefit. That's how we got into this trouble. That's how we got into this animal farm. As they put corn in the pen and they said, yeah, it's free. Just come on in. And they came in and ate a little corn and they kept doing that. And then somebody slammed the gate. And everybody says, hey, I don't want to stay in here. Well, you've been eating the corn for free. You went to public school. I mean, people worried about socialism when they see Obamacare. What about public school? That's socialism. You're forcing your neighbor to pay for your child's education at the point of a gun. And we call it public education. If you don't want to pay, the men with guns will come to your house and take your house away from you. That's pretty much coveting your neighbor's goods. Because you want that public education. I can't wait till those kids are in school again. No, you have to go back to home health care, home education. In order to make that work in any society, you need to have community helping you out. Because, I mean, we were pretty fortunate. My wife stayed healthy. I stayed healthy. We always got enough work. We lived outside pretty much the system. But we were pretty independent. And we raised six kids, and they were all home taught. But some people, it's not that easy. Some people are going to need help, and that's why you need to form those congregations or communities. That's why if you go back and read The Enterprise of Law, I can never remember the guy's name because it's so much like somebody else's. But anyway, Enterprise of Law, he points out that the majority of governments throughout the history of man have been voluntary systems based on this concept of 10s, 100s, and 1000s. Of 10 families getting together and picking a minister who merely represents them, doesn't make law, doesn't go down, he's not a lawmaker. He represents their viewpoint, and he works to see to it that the needy of his society is taken care of but he also works with other ministers like himself so that they are not just isolated congregations, but they are actually a national government. When you see the apostles referring to the Gentiles, they're using a Greek word there, ethnos, which means other nations. Early Christians were a nation. They were referred to as a viable republic in the heart of the Roman Empire by one of the most noted historians of that time, which actually he was a historian in 1776, which was Edward Gibbons, who was defined and followed. So, anyway, was that dogs barking? I didn't hear that very clearly. What was that noise?
That was my dog. Yeah.
Oh, it was? Okay. Yeah, there was a little bit of scratchiness to it, and I wasn't sure. It sounded like, I didn't know if you were trying to say something or you were choking on a wishbone. That was a dog. Okay. Edward Gibbons referred to the early Christian church as a viable republic in the heart of the Roman Empire. And in our article or essay on republics, Republic versus Democracy, we show that the United States Constitution did not create a republic. It created an indirect democracy, and it was created by the states. A republic is what it was created in. It was already a republic here. There's a republic in America in 1619. Actually, Cromwell even sent troops over to defend the American Republic in way back in the 1600s. The United States American Creed even states the United States is a democracy within a republic.
Right.
And a republic, a pure republic, the leaders are titular. They're not lawmakers. They can't make law for you. You make law in the courts when you're a jury deciding fact and law. And we don't understand how that works either. And maybe that'll be a great topic for next week's show, is what is a real republic, a pure republic? Because most people don't know. And when we put out the Kingdom News letter this week, we may focus on that subject, what a republic is. Because most people don't understand that anymore. They don't understand money. So what we've done anyway is we've created a Federal Reserve System just like the Pharaoh Reserve System at the time of the bondage in Egypt. Not only does 20% of our labor go to the government, as it did when we were in bondage in Egypt, now 30, 40, and 50% go, because it's worse with us than it was with them. We don't have any gold and silver in our pockets because we've thrown it all in the streets. Everybody always refers to that prophecy where they would throw their gold and silver in the streets, and they say, so we don't need gold and silver. Well, they don't have it anyway because they've already thrown it away. The word streets there actually is a metaphor for the city. For the city-state, and you don't even have the brains to put people in general don't even have, Americans don't even have the brains to have a golden calf where they can keep an eye on it. They've got it all supposedly in Fort Knox where there hasn't been an audit in, 60 years? They don't even know if it's in there, and if it is in there, they don't even know who owns it. If every American had one gold coin in their pockets, the people would have more money, more gold reserve than there was ever in the Fort Knox. I think that's an accurate statement. It'd be 360 million ounces. I don't think there's been that much in Fort Knox. Somebody can call in and tell me if I'm wrong, but they don't have much time to do it.
This went by so quickly. I mean, my head is just still. I'm going to have to listen to this a couple times.
Well, we have a number of recordings and even a video out on Money versus Mammon on the website at hisholychurch.org. If anybody wants to go and listen to those, we can keep them busy listening for days. <That's up to you. laughs>
Well, we certainly appreciate you being here, and thank you so much for bringing this very important subject to light and giving us these wonderful perspectives. It's very, very much appreciated.
I thank you for having me.
Well,
We'll be back after these commercial breaks and with our program for Team Free State. I hope you'll stick around, Brother Gregory, and thank you again.
Okay. I probably won't be here because I've been on the radio for 5 hours today. So I better spend some time with my family. But we'll see you next week.
Okay. Thank you.
God bless. Bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.
How good would you feel if when you went to bed, you knew in the morning and every morning thereafter, there would be less and less outside interference in your life? Join us on Saturday evening at 4 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Central, for Team Free State, a show that covers everything you ever wanted to know about the issues that threaten your peace of mind and your future. Find answers, find remedies. Team Free State, hosted by Freedomizer Radio. See you there.
About Lynna Tate. She is the greatest organic guru on this side of the Atlantic. Her words have impacted countless lives all over the world. She is the author of the international bestseller, Fuel for the Body.
Please catch your organic guru, Lynette Pate, right here on Freedomizer Radio, 4:30 to 6 p.m., Tuesdays and Thursdays on the East Coast, 1:30 to 3 on the West Coast, right here, freedomizerradio.com.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative, weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together, right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Hey, Vicky, what are you doing on Friday at 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time?
Well, Donnie, I am going to be hosting the heated conversation on Freedomizer Radio. But you already know this because you co-host.
I sure do. Please join us as we talk about UFOs, the universe, comets, health and herbal medicine, paranormal activities, weather, earthquakes, HAARP, and current events.
Just remember, on Fridays 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, the heated conversation. Oh, and by the way, we have our chat room at freedomizerradio.com. See you there.
Hi, my name is Levi Thomas. As an artist, I wanted the world to see my art. I created a website that I could share with the world and let them see what I do. What is it that you do? What is it that you want the world to see? Let's get you a website today, custom to fit your needs. StudioOneTree.com, StudioOneTree.com, or call us today at 978-733-0663. That's 978-733-0663.
This ad is sponsored by StudioOneTree.com, artwork, prints, graphics, web designs. StudioOneTree.com.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to FreedomizerRadio.com and also Facebook us right at FreedomizerRadio.com. Catch you there.
Good afternoon. This is Cheryl, and I'm your host today for Team Free State. We have an incredible program ready for you today. If you're listening via phone, you may pick up the links that are given during this broadcast. Just go to Blog Talk Radio, search on Team Free State, and choose the program for today, which is the 19th. Links will be dropped in the comments section, and just use that, the link that you find there, to share this important program with other people. Team Free State is a program that's here for you, bringing you information to create the world that you want now for future generations. Our vision is clearly stated. Please go to the Wisconsin Free State and read the short document there called The Covenant. We want you to know exactly who we are. How we get there, that world that you want to create, is with your desire backed by positive action. When you need to know how to get something done in your community, we're here to help you. While the issues facing each community are somewhat different, the solutions and remedies are often quite similar. We as Americans have been led by other people who worry about governance and see where it has gotten us. Over the next few weeks, we'll be outlining self-governance for a better world. There you go. Hi, Floyd. Floyd is my compadre here on Team Free State and the other person who talks a lot besides me. Hi, Floyd.
Not yet, but it's early.
Well, we're just so happy to be here today, and would you like to add anything to what I just had to say?
Yeah, tonight's program is something that I'm really excited about because we're drawing people from all over the world tonight. And what's really exciting about it is our guest. And Rosalind Peterson has talked to the United Nations. She's been on Alex Jones. She's what we would call an activist. And we need more of them that are filled with truth and able to convey their thoughts in a manner that everyone can understand. And the difference, you will find that Rosalind is more politically correct than I guess that's a polite way to say it. And the contrails that she talks about, the reason that they're called contrails is that's a government definition of them. And they've conned you into everything else, so they want you to believe that these trails are doing you some good. And they're dumping chemicals on us day in and day out. They're changing our lives, our land, our crops. And Rosalind is so well-versed in this, we can turn it over to her anytime. She's indeed a very special person. Are you on, Roz?
Yes, hello. And it's a pleasure and an honor to be here with you today to discuss some interesting subjects of great concern to all of us.
Well, you know, one thing that I've found is that over the years, the names have changed. Geoengineering, weather modification, cloud seeding is thrown around, and we have some new terms that are being used. Climate remediation, climate mitigation. So they're changing the definitions of these words to make things sound like they're doing something good for us when they're not, and we know that. We who are more versed in the subject. We have a lot of callers, Rosalind, who don't know anything about any of these words that I've used. Can you give us just a little bit from your perspective on what all of those things mean for those who are just tuning in and don't really know, and then we let's get deeper.
Okay, that sounds fine. First, I want to state that my background is in agriculture, and I was born and raised on a working farm in Mendocino County in Northern California. And I have worked for the United States Department of Agriculture in California, as well as the Mendocino County Agriculture Department, where I live here. So I have a deep-rooted background in the subject of agriculture, crop production, and related issues. And one of the things that concerns me about all of the terms that you use is that they are going to negatively impact agriculture, and in some cases already are. And with that kind of as a background and a history, then I'm going to define those particular terms for you, and also to note that they do have definite negative impacts on agriculture. The first term is chemtrails. It's a term that I haven't willingly used since 2002, when I discovered that it was a term coined by the United States Navy and the United States Air Force, and it was put out in the early 1990s as a hoax on their websites. Thus, whenever the press picked up the terminology or when our elected officials heard about people talking about chemtrails, they were automatically told that it was a conspiracy theory, a hoax, or an internet hoax in later years, and that the people that used the terms were marginalized as being gullible to believing in hoaxes. I prefer the term persistent jet contrails because there was no such thing as jet contrails that persisted in the early years when my mother was born in 1915 all the way through her almost her entire life until we got into the late 1980s. And then all of a sudden, these trails began to persist here in Mendocino County and other areas along with white haze. And the persistence grew until NASA was actually talking about jet trails persisting up to 20 hours or more. And one jet contrail from one jet could cover 4,000 kilometers. So when you have planes flying in every direction, leaving these white plumes or black trails, we see different types of cloud covers that they produce, which, according to Stanford and NASA studies,
are... Can I step in soon? I have some things to share about what you're saying about the contrails, and I really didn't want to be rude because you're so intelligent, but I wanted to include that here in Hawaii, the attack done on the atmosphere is so so unique, so customized. This place, again, was, you know, illegally occupied in 1959 by the military. And I want to say that we don't have the contrails here, rarely, because we have a much warmer climate. It's not very conductive. They prefer a cooler climate, the contrails. But what we do have here is we'll have, you know, an entire plasmic sky cover at maybe 40,000 feet, I feel, that is being put in the sky from Star Wars weaponry. Then we have this low-level attack right above our soil, starting right wherever the water supply is. We'll have these chem clouds that are so realistic that are smashing on top of our rain clouds. And unless you have been raised here and watched the sky alter over even a 30-year period or longer, you see in front of your face, this is no longer paradise. There's no contrails, yet the sky is completely transformed into a man-made skyline with no aircraft in sight. It's highly exotic the way it's being done. I don't want to get into that, but I just want to validate that NASA is behind this whole fraudulent research. All these texts, all these reports, everything that's been documented for years, supposedly, validate that they know what they're talking about. It's all a scam. Contrails are chemtrails. A normal contrail lasts no longer in any atmospheric condition than about 2 minutes. That's pushing it, more like a minute. And they're trying to say that in the coldest conditions, atmospheric conditions, you can have these contrails morph out into big clouds. It's impossible. NASA is behind this. So I don't want to steal your spot, but I want to say when people realize that including the telescopes in Hawaii are all connected, they're all trying to look like they're nonprofit, they're all stems branching off of the secret society, which is using NASA as the platform for all of these, you know, staged hoaxes, weaponization, testing going on all sides, and we're thinking that it's, you know, Nibiru coming at us. I have to say that the lie is from the highest levels in science, education, on every level, the belief system of the world is completely sabotaged in a media sinister censorship that has got humanity on its knees, licking up the lie and thinking we're nuts if we talk the way we are. But go ahead, hon.
Thank you very much for your input. Rosalyn, do you have comments for our caller?
I don't disagree with the caller because we see the same things here. And I've seen the same things when I've gone back to Washington, D.C. I've seen it in New York. I've traveled across the United States several times. I don't disagree with what she says. But the problem that I have is that I know that NASA is responsible for some of what we're seeing because they're working with the U.S. Navy and the U.S. Air Force in rocket programs, which dust us with aluminum oxide and other chemicals as well. And the upper atmospheric tests have been going on since the 1960s using rockets and our space shuttle, and future rockets will be used to release barium and strontium, trimethyl aluminum, aluminum oxide, and a whole host of other chemicals into the atmospheres they've been doing for years. And I do have this documented on my website. However, I want to go back to the terminology for a moment, only to say that whenever the use of the word chemtrails comes in, the dismissal is so tremendous at almost every level that it came to me that I had to start using a different terminology in order to be credible and to not be dusted off on the bandwagon of some conspiracy theorist. And so, therefore, part of how I define and what I define that we're seeing may be under terminology used by NASA, yes, or Stanford University, yes, and in some studies. However, it means no less that it's unreal, it's man-made, and it's unnatural. So I want everyone to be clear that what we're seeing mostly here in California and Hawaii and across the United States are usually not real clouds, they're man-made clouds from these different types of programs that are being run across the United States.
Have you, Rosalyn?
Yes.
Have you ever had any reports of what they're spraying up there? Here in Wisconsin, we've had 10 to 21 straight days of wax paper, it looks like, over the sky. We've seen no blue sky. And I've had droppings in my driveway that were like a quarter of an inch in diameter with a black center. And they're only the only place that they show up, I've got a 150-foot of driveway, and the only place they show up are out from under the trees. So it's not birds, and they're small, very small, but they're spaced a foot or so apart. Is that common in other parts of the world?
In some places, yes, it is. The gels have been found all the way from Hawaii, Sacramento, California, Northern California, Southern California. We also get cobweb-like materials. We've had orange powders, yellow powders, all kinds of things, which were clearly not pollen. We've had any number of, in other words, tests done, and some we can identify and some haven't been able to identify what they are. So, yes, we are under the gun for a wide variety of releases from various sources, not just necessarily the jets themselves, but rocket sources. It can be small planes as well. Sometimes they wouldn't leave a plume, but you can be hit very hard with a small plane. For example, planes that modify the weather, put up chemicals into the atmosphere as well. And you can have ground-based, cloud seeding is also done with ground-based seeders, in which the materials are shot into the air to a certain height to seed clouds. So you could have the sources be any number of sources, and it's very hard to detect which source is doing what. And that's been a real difficulty.
It's a constant assault. The chemicals in the land, they're depleting so much of the mineral value, and they're changing the nutritional value of the food with it, and they persist in doing it. And it's another reason why it's a godsend to have someone like you. It is absolutely fabulous, and I won't interrupt anymore.
Oh, no, go right ahead. I'll stop talking every so often because I love the questions, and I like hearing what's going on in Hawaii as well, because I have grave concerns about all areas, and I'm going to be on a radio station next week in Spain, and they called me to ask me to speak about what they're seeing in their skies in Spain right now. So it's not just happening in one place. This is happening all over. But what I want to do, what I want to say, though, is that when you have atmospheric experiments where you're using our atmosphere as a physics experimental laboratory, without public consent, without public oversight, without public knowledge, without even our elected officials acknowledging that it's happening and ignoring us, we are in for a lot of trouble unless we really take steps to say no to all of this at every level. And that's why I've been speaking out, that's why I've been doing presentations, is to start to educate people that we're going to have to move at the grassroots level, and we're going to have to move at every government level to get this changed. And right now, they're talking about geoengineering. Well, what we're seeing in the skies, geoengineering is loosely defined as conducting different types of tests in order to reduce the amount of direct sunlight reaching the Earth in order to mask the effects of global warming or climate change. However, it's only a mask because they have to get those particles to stay up in the air for any period of time. They have to rely on water vapor from the jets and other sources because that and water vapor is a source of greenhouse gas. So they have to rely on using water vapor and the jets in order to be able to vaporize the gases and turn the gases into particles that will stay in the atmosphere for a long period of time. And David Keith has spoken out. He's one of the prime promoters of geoengineering, which is putting particles and chemicals into the atmosphere on a continuing forever basis and conducting experiments. And what happens is when you put either aluminum oxide, which he is talking about quite seriously now, or you're talking about sulfur, you're talking about air pollution, water pollution, changing soil pH when these particles come back down to Earth. You're talking about acid rain, lower crop production from the lack of direct sunlight reaching the Earth, which the jets are already doing on a massive scale. And you're talking about the impacts on all of us. Every plant needs photosynthesis, in other words, direct sunlight, in order to use the sugars produced through that process of photosynthesis to grow healthy and strong and produce crops. When you take that away, you immediately have plants that don't aren't healthy. You have trees that won't grow tall and strong. You're going to have lower crop production because we do know from corn crop studies and other studies that you need rain and you need direct sunlight in order to have higher crop production. And once you start to reduce it with polluted soil from lack of direct sunlight hitting the earth, we are in trouble. And you can already see the results around us here in Northern California with tree decline. Native grasses don't nearly grow as tall as they used to. When I was young, I used to have to stand on a cat tractor. I couldn't sit down because I couldn't see over the height of the grass to steer in a straight line. I'd have to stand. And what would happen is that the grass used to grow 6-8 feet tall, the native grass. And now you're lucky if it gets 4 to 6 inches high. You're lucky if you get more than one cutting of hay or other types of crops that's worth anything. If you get a second cutting, in many areas it's not worth anything, has no nutritional value. So these are the impacts that we're seeing from what is already going on. And now we have these so-called geoengineers, these arrogant men, who say that we have to put more particles and chemicals into the atmosphere, in other words, to diffuse direct sunlight and to mask any type of warming or cooling conditions. And I'm afraid that that's going to be more of a disaster than the Earth may be able to take, and us as well.
Yeah, I think you're right. Studies all the way across the board on what you've said so far have proven without a doubt that one of the age-old things that's true is you are what you eat. And when they're inundating the soil and the crops and the fauna and the fauna and the animals are regressing, it isn't because of hunters necessarily. It's because their food is so bad that their immune system is gone. When the immune system gets gone, may as well say goodbye. It's just the way it is. And our water is just an atrocity. And
well,
all of that's made available no charge.
That's correct. And what's happening, well, we're paying for it. But what's happening is that there's weather modification programs ongoing by cities, states, counties, private parties, private corporations, individuals like Bill Gates, Dynamat Corporation, all kinds of corporations now can hire a company or outfit a plane and do weather modification, cloud whitening experiments, geoengineering experiments. They're running amok with no rules and regulations to prohibit this type of activity. So therefore, it isn't one program in our skies that we're looking at. It's the scary thing is it's multiple programs for all kinds of different purposes, none of which are to the benefit of life here on Earth. And consequently, for example, in the United States, we're having an epidemic of rickets. And in the 1990s, the CDC, University of California at Berkeley, Kaiser Permanente, a large health organization here, all got together and said, look, rickets and children, it's a bone disease that gives them weak bones, is in epidemic proportions. And they began to talk about not only epidemic proportions, but to say that it was increasing cloud cover, that it was a lack of direct sunlight being absorbed through the skin of our children and our adults that was causing the problem. And so here we are talking about geoengineering and having more and more cloud cover over us that's man-made, more and more talk of putting particles and chemicals up to reduce the amount of sunlight reaching the Earth, and yet we're feeling the health consequences of that. When I went to and got on my website and decided that I was going to do a section on vitamin D deficiency and human health effects, I had to put up an entire section just on health effects from vitamin D deficiencies. And I got into, first it was 20 and then 30 different effects and then 40. And then I've lost count now after 50 or 60. I'm not sure how many I've got there. But these are all the health effects associated with a lack of vitamin D. And this is human health effects, animal health effects. And then we talk about, well, we want solar power as an alternative clean energy source. Well, that's nice to say, but the jets are clouding us over with these man-made clouds so often that solar panel power production has dropped 30 to 60% in a lot of areas. And when you talk about geoengineering, reducing the amount of sunlight reaching the Earth, I mean, solar power isn't going to be feasible because of these plans. And that's why there's something wrong with allowing less than 20 men, arrogant men, who think that just because they've reached some station in life that they can recommend geoengineering and they can say we ought to experiment with the atmosphere. Here we are. They think that this is normal and they're self-righteously going around working on global geoengineering governance to do the experiments. They've even talked about some countries already doing the experiments. They're already talking about getting funding from the U.S. government for the budget in 2012 under the Bipartisan Policy Center. And they're talking about the haves and the have-nots because not everybody is going to benefit equally, and probably most people are not going to benefit from the geoengineering schemes they plan to implement.
This is L.B. Bork. I'm glad to be part of this show, or listen at least to Roslyn, is it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. You mentioned global warming. As we know, what I believe, it's a hoax. So are you saying they're doing this? You've noted some of the negative things. Are they doing this to make us sick, to thwart solar energy and things of this nature, which you brought up, under the guise of global warming, which I think, myself at this point, I think it's a hoax. I don't think there is global warming. What are your findings, I guess is the question, on global warming?
Well, I don't think that we're impacted with global warming per se. I think that according to the studies, especially Stanford University studies and some other studies that I've looked at quite extensively, and there's a lot of them now, they're talking about certain areas of the world being warmed artificially. The Arctic is melting, Alaska is melting, some mountainous areas which were very cold are starting to melt. And my guess is that the oil companies have always wanted to get into those areas. They wanted to warm them up. And as a matter of fact, we're fighting over the Arctic now. There's even CNN is talking about it because Russia and Denmark and Canada are all vying to drill in Alaska and the Arctic areas. Shell Oil is involved deeply and other oil companies, because with the Arctic melted, they can, in other words, exploit those natural resources. And that has been the goal for a long time. So I think certain areas are being melted because of the water vapor releases by the jets, which a lot of studies are now showing that one of the major contributors, because water vapor is a greenhouse gas, to warming, is aviation impact on certain areas where it's warming them up artificially. So if anyone wanted to really reduce global warming, all they have to do is stop the jets from producing so much water vapor. I'm sure Boeing and other companies could do this quite easily. But on the other hand, the geoengineers want the water vapor up and more of it because they want to produce this man-made cloud cover, and they want to keep the particles and chemicals into the atmosphere longer that they're putting up, like aluminum oxide or sulfur is just two examples. They will stay longer if the particles are smaller, and they have to use water vapor as the medium. So that's what David Keith has been talking about in recent presentations in 2010 and 2011. So the global warming is just the driver to keep doing the experiments.
Any excuse is good for them to continue experiments. They've been experimenting for a long time with human mortality, unfortunately. And why, all they got to do is ruin the planet, and they ruin it all. I don't think they even realize the effects that it's going to have on them. I think they're beyond that.
There's an arrogance in which, like Gregory Benford from Irvine University, who once talked about, well, you can put a little barium up, you can put a little aluminum up, and you can make the clouds, and you can put them wherever we want them. And there's an arrogance in that he states that, well, we have to become the new stewards of the environment. We are the ones that are going to save the earth. And personally, I think they should stop whatever they're doing, because they're not saving the earth. They're producing an area which is going to be inhospitable to man if they keep continuing doing what they're doing.
Absolutely.
Rosalind, this is Lawrence Gilbert. I'm part of Team Free State here and represent the Regal Exchange Monetary System. I was a little bit late getting on here. It couldn't be avoided, so I hope I'm, you know, if I'm asking something that you've already covered, we'll, you know, understand.
That's okay.
When I began, and you're just incredible, it's so good to hear someone that really has the facts, you know, finally, and can express it so well and bring so many things into together like you do. When I began to become aware of chemtrails was in the late 90s, when I really got exposed firsthand to it. And I won't take but a moment here, but at that time, you know, they've refined it somewhat today. It's generally not so self-evident in what we see coming down to the earth as what it was back in the late 90s when they began to really really push it out there and put it out there. At that time, you know, it was a sticky goo was real common on your cars and all over your driveways and everything. It was just a brown sticky goo. I thought the first time I saw it that it was sap and resin falling out of the trees in the fall. And so I moved my vehicles out in the clear area after washing them off. And it was horrible to get off. And then the next morning, guess what? It was all gummy and sticky. You couldn't run your wipers or anything. And it took a lot to get it off. And that's when in the act of process of washing and scrubbing all this crap off, the next day I came down horribly sick. It took me 3 to 3.5 months to recover from that. And at the same time, I had a friend up about 80 miles north of me that their whole community came down deathly sick with this. 45% of the community population was desperately sick with respiratory diseases and such. And I began to research it, what was available to me from online at that time. And a certain individual was like a... It is like the father of chemtrail exposure back in the 90s. And he had a lot of studies had been done and things, and there wasn't just the barium and aluminum and heavy metals and chemicals involved, but there was also very explicit bacteria and viral particles that were designed to perforate the lung linings and make you susceptible to any airborne disease. It took an incredible amount of time to restore and regenerate those tissues, those barriers, if you would. Have you had any, in your research and study, any experience along that line? And I don't want to detract you from your overall effort here, but I just wanted to throw that in.
The health effects from the jets have been dizziness, have been skin irritations, eye irritations, breathing difficulties, respiratory problems, crop damage. The gels, the liquids, the all of these things, when people come in contact with them, they're getting sick. They don't know why they're getting sick. Respiratory problems, nose problems, throat problems, lung problems. I mean, the list is tremendous. And there's even... this yellow powder that showed up in Mendocino County, which was causing people to black out when they were driving. There was an orange powder here as well, and it so disoriented people that they couldn't stay awake. As soon as they hit a patch of this, they would actually fall asleep and become disoriented for a period of time after waking up. And so we had a variety of car accidents, which were quite suspicious, because no one was drinking or doing anything else. People would just fall asleep at the wheel. So we do know that there's a series of different types of experiments going on, and right now we have no control over any type of atmospheric experiment that's going on. And it's concerning me because the lethargy, the disorientation, short-term memory lapses, inability to spell, focus, or concentrate at times, depression. There's a whole series of things that happen out of the clear blue sky that nobody expects, but the intensity is so great that people really feel the effects of it. So I can speak to the effect that something abnormal is going on and that we are the guinea pigs for these atmospheric experiments that are going on. And I fully believe that, having watched the skies deteriorate from beautiful blue in my lifetime and real clouds to what we see today is mostly abnormal.
Now that's exactly true. That's great. I know for myself here, I've watched my animals for 2 years out here in the country, and when the chemtrails are heavy, excuse me, I have goats, chickens, and dogs, and cats, and it's like my old billy goat, he's especially susceptible to this, and when he starts coughing and choking and hacking, he's usually like a canary in a coal mine, you know, and he's like the forerunner of chemtrail reality, and usually within 24 hours, I come down sick. I have, it's affected me different ways. Again, probably like you said, depending upon what they're doing at that time. And I have sometimes experienced extreme dizziness, heart palpitations to the extreme, and shortness of breath, dizziness, and all kind of things. But I'll watch my goats, my chickens, my cats, and my dogs all begin to cough and hack and choke and gag. And usually, it hits me, too, if I have to be outside working. So it's just incredible what they're doing here. It's so crazy, so wrong.
Well, I think it is. And I think that, that there has to become a time when we start to elect people and work toward, in Contra Costa County, I'm going to work for a man to elect him to the U.S. Congress that understands these issues. And we're going to work really hard to get him elected because he will start to bring up these issues. And at the local level, we have to pass ban geoengineering and these jets leaving the trails and start to take control of no weather modification programs here. We have to really begin to step up to the plate here because I can tell you that in my background, I'm also a tennis pro, and I have taught for years, sometimes 6-7 hours a day, many days during the week. And I can tell you that the kids that I used to teach years ago did not have asthma and respiratory problems. I never saw a respirator. I never saw anyone with asthma. And in the last 10-15 years, I'm seeing more and more children in all sports, not just tennis, with asthma, respiratory problems. And I can tell you that I hate being out under the skies when the jets are just blitzing us over because my throat becomes raspy. I feel like I'm coming down with a cold that doesn't materialize. I had to start wearing long shirts even in the summertime and long pants because of skin and irritations. So, and when I get done from being outside, the only way that I could survive was to come in and take a shower and throw all my clothes in the washing machine. Because if I didn't, the problem would persist for long periods of time. So, but you see, your animals can't come in, and they're feeling the effects of this too, and it makes them less healthy. And I think that we have to gain control and say no more. And I'm real serious about this.
And we have to start at the township level with that.
Hmm?
We've started at the township level with that. We've got to tell them that this is our planet, and we can't put up with this nonsense anymore. And we have to get a voice going from every man, woman, and child saying, enough of this. That little 13-year-old that's on your website with the video?
Yeah.
In front of the United Nations, she made more sense than that entire United Nations has in years.
That's why I put her
and
there, because I thought it was she said something really important.
She did. We all have to get the same anatomy that she has and stand right up and say, hey, enough of this nonsense.
Yes, and it's interesting because in Mendocino County, we passed a resolution and then took it to the vote of the people, and we banned GMO crops and seeds coming in here. And I can tell you that a group of citizens got together. We beat Monsanto and all those other companies. They must have outspent us a bunch, but we beat them, and they're gone here. And so what happens is it takes citizens in every community putting up the bans, putting saying no to these things. And if your elected officials are going to ignore you and not pay attention, then we vote them out of office, and we vote people in office who are going to take up a stand for us. And the people will rally if they're given good, solid information, and I think that we can do this.
I think you're right.
We're going to be instrumental.
I think you're right. We do need our sponsors, so I'd like to take a commercial break. And when we come back, I have a couple questions from my dear friend, and I'm going to try very hard to say her name correctly, Tone from Norway. And she has been instrumental in getting the word out about this program to spread the word. There are so many activists out there who want this stopped. And given the right direction, which I think that they can get from you, Rosalind, I think we can get this stopped. So we'll be back in a few minutes. Thank you for listening. This is Freedomizer Radio, Team Free State, with special guest Rosalind Peterson, and we'll be right back.
Are you searching for motivation, tools for your life? How about some great insights from others who are doing more than just surviving in these economic times, and instead, they're thriving and enjoying life? Well, if you tune into Radio Hour with me, Zebulon Thomas, on Thursday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific, then you're going to get a great new look on today's world and begin changing your life. Only on Freedomizer Radio. For more information, log on to ZebulonThomas.com/Radio Hour. That is ZebulonThomas.com/Radio Hour.
Hey Vicky, what are you doing on Friday at 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time?
Well, Donnie, I am going to be hosting the heated conversation on Freedomizer Radio. But you already know this because you co-host.
I sure do. Please join us as we talk about UFOs, the universe, comets, health and herbal medicine, paranormal activities, weather, earthquakes, HAARP, and current events.
Just remember, on Fridays 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, the heated conversation. Oh, and by the way, we have our chat room at freedomizerradio.com. See you there.
Hi, my name is Levi Thomas. As an artist, I wanted the world to see my art. I created a website that I could share with the world and let them see what I do. What is it that you do? What is it that you want the world to see? Let's get you a website today, custom to fit your needs. StudioOneTree.com, StudioOneTree.com. Or call us today at 978-733-0663. That's 978-733-0663.
This ad is sponsored by StudioOneTree.com. Artwork, prints, graphics, web designs. StudioOneTree.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Hello, 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 Freedomizers. This is Joanne Moretti, your host from Liberty Underground, The Moretti Report. Please join me, along with my wonderful co-hosts, Denise and Bobby, as we bring you the latest news, commentary and in-depth investigation into what's really going on in our country and in our world. We'll bring you many guests to cover an array of subjects that are crucial to all of us. We're keeping an eye on everything from domestic crime to foreign policy, education, and the globalization of America agenda. We hope you'll listen in Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We welcome call-in commentary as well as spirited conversation in our always interesting chat room. Come join us. Again, that's Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here at Freedomizer Radio.
You can find all kinds of information on what we've been speaking about at Roslyn's website, CaliforniaSkyWatch.com. And the other one, Agricultural Coalition?
AgricultureDefenseCoalition.org.
Thank you.
And they're interconnected by the categories. So you can go to the categories section, and you'll find an alphabetical listing where they're interconnected.
Ah, excellent. Thank you. I would like to thank Vicki, the hot one, in Reno for helping us out with the switchboard today. She hosts the Heated Conversation on Fridays, so tune in there. Tonne Western in Norway, thank you very much for all of your hard work in getting the word out. Two questions that she had, Roslyn. The first was, how do activists convince environmental groups that this is a serious problem? And where do they get the hard evidence in their local areas to back it up?
Environmental groups, in a lot of cases, have co-opted out and are not going to put up a stand. As a matter of fact, Friends of the Earth is working on global geoengineering governance with the Royal Society. So they're in it to make deals and to be at the table to be part of it instead of resisting these particular, the implementation of these atmospheric programs. So I have a great difficulty with environmental groups at this time. There's very few that can be re-educated because they've really been taken over by corporate and business interests and no longer are in the business of representing the people. They're in the business of representing themselves as saving us, but with cute photographs of polar bears and all these things and say, join us. But they're beginning to be at the table for negotiations on making deals and not acting in the public behalf. So I stopped making contributions to them long ago. There are a couple, but not on these issues. Geoengineering seems to be floating by them without a rise here, especially in the United States. And so I don't think that that's our answer. I think our answer is to take action at the local level and begin to educate people. The reason that I put up the Agriculture Defense Coalition and the categories listing is for people to go and look at the actual documents and my research work that's been going on since 2002. I am willing to help anyone with drafting of legislation, with resolutions. I'm happy to talk to people. My phone number is on my website. My email address, I'm happy to refer you to people in your area who are also working on these projects as well. And I think that we have to take it educationally to the local area. But if you use beliefs and you use terminology that's going to undermine you, you probably won't go too far. You have to go and use our laws. Whether it's environmental laws, state laws, in other words, the California Penal Code comes in handy here in California because it's against the law for anybody to, it's against California law for anybody to dump any toxics onto any parks or public places where people congregate for any reason, and you can be fined and go to jail for that. So the laws are there. We just have to do the research and implement them and put forward resolutions that can stand up. And I'm happy to share a couple that I have that have been used successfully in other areas. And I hope this helps.
Yeah.
I hope that you will consider yourself a part of the team here in getting some of these things done. I do have a caller, and I'd like to bring her on if that's okay.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
My computer's running a little bit slow. Amanda, you have comments or questions for Rosalind?
Hello?
I'm here.
Yes. Oh, hi. I just wanted to call. This is my first time listening to your radio here. I wanted to thank you for spreading the news about the effects that this is having on people. I live in Massachusetts, and me, myself, have been concerned about the chemtrails in my area. They have been spraying very heavily, and I've been going out documenting this on my own film and photos, and I have now came down with a pneumonia-like virus, and I am too suffering from respiratory illness in everyone around me. So I just wanted to thank you for just showing that, you know, this does affect you, and I'm trying to get the awareness out here, and, you know, everyone thinks it's crazy talk.
I have friends that, if you get in touch with me, I have friends in New York who would be able to help you get something moving in New Jersey, and they're just great, and they get this issue, and they're working on it at the local level themselves. So if you contact me or send me an email, I'll be happy to help out as much as I can.
Well, that would be awesome.
Okay, don't be afraid to call me. You can call me on the phone. I do have my home phone listed on the website, so anyone can call me.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for just doing what you do. I think everybody should know this is going on.
I do, too. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Cheryl?
We have one. Yes, we have another caller. Drake, did you have
yes.
a comment? That's one.
Well, yeah, there's one slight problem with all this. The people who are flying these flights are not using registered aircraft, takeoff or landings. If you remember, there was a problem with swine flu a few years ago. Some of these dinks were flying around spraying it in Europe. And the local police department decided to take their choppers up and shoot them down. That's how they found out that these are unregistered, they don't know who was running them kind of aircraft. So you got some kind of either above top secret black ops, you know, something that doesn't exist kind of thing going on, or you got a rogue element, one of the two. And I personally don't know of any other way to stop them than to ground their aircraft. The idea of using law when they're already operating outside of the law may or may not give you any kind of relief. They spray chemtrails on the west side of the Appalachians so that they come down on the east side. It looks like clouds by the time it gets over there. So you can't really, you know, by sight, you can't really identify them too easily. It's just one of those things where I look at it and I go, yeah, okay. What do you do?
Okay. Thank you for your comment. Rosalind, do you have a comment for this gentleman?
Sure. They spray us here over the Pacific Ocean, and they come in as clouds and haze here too. But we have enough FAA maps. I got the FAA flight maps of commercial airlines and interflights, which are military flights, over our area. And we have very few commercial airlines that fly over us. And commercial airlines fly straight as an arrow. They're on a time scale. They don't have much fuel. The ones that here have been identified as military aircraft, the big jets that can refuel out over the Pacific and come back and hit us over and over, loops and around our county. And it doesn't take many planes to cover our entire county in man-made clouds and white haze. We do see the jets, but we also see the milky cloud cover. The thing that has to occur is that there has to become an awareness within the public of this issue. And if people are just chalking it up to a hoax and conspiracy theories, it isn't going to move. And that's where it's really important that we start to take action to ban the flights over our counties and our cities, where we begin to take action at the local level to put a stop to it. And when more and more counties and cities begin to take those actions and begin to see that solar power panel, see, most people do not know that just the man-made cloud cover produced by the jets reduces solar panel power production. Well, you start talking to your officials about this and the increase in rickets and from lack of sunlight, and then you start talking about geoengineering and how their whole thing is to reduce the amount of direct sunlight reaching the earth, this is going to have a tremendous impact on the economy. We have to talk about the air pollution, the water pollution from the chemicals that are all, they admit, are all going to come down and do come down now. So this is where we have to start saying, look, this is against the laws, this type of air pollution, this type of water pollution. This is impacting our soil and our crop production. And unless we start using the documents to make these cases where we can stand on real studies, where we can stand on real documents from real universities, other government agencies, use their own documents against them, then we're going to be lost. Because if we just build on beliefs and opinions and we don't have anything we can sell, you know, it's like selling a vacuum cleaner without ever testing the vacuum cleaner on your floor to see if it works. In other words, people want to see that it works. They don't want to buy a vacuum cleaner that doesn't work based on someone's belief system that this vacuum cleaner, when you put it together, is somehow going to vacuum the dust off your floor. So we have to be the same. We have to take this same type of issue and argue these problems with people and our elected officials so that they begin to understand and we begin to educate them on the problems. Until we can do that, then we're going to be always in the conspiracy theory mold and no one is going to take any of us seriously.
Yeah. Cheryl?
Sherry, yeah.
Yeah, this is LB. I think it would be a good time to interject the information that I had to add to tonight's call or show.
Please go ahead and do that.
Yeah. Rosalind, are you familiar with Title 50 USC Section 1520A?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
It's on my website, as a matter of fact.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't get
it. That's okay. You wouldn't know.
Yeah. Well, I should know. I should have reviewed your site. I apologize.
Oh, no, that's impossible. You've got almost 35,000 documents on it. I don't think you could review it very well.
Yeah. This is
maybe by before, topic, but it would be hard to review everything.
This is L.B. Bork. I've been studying law for 15 years. I founded People's Awareness Coalition back in 1998, and we study constitutional law. But anyway, for the listeners, because I think it's important, it's interesting, the verbiage here, and it ties right in with what Rosalind is talking about, these people getting away with. And anyway, this is under Chemical and Biological Warfare Program. And, of course, Title 50, for those who do not know, it's War and National Defense. And basically this section of the code states that restrictions, it goes over restrictions on use of human subjects for testing of chemical or biological agents. And it says it's prohibited. The Secretary of Defense may not conduct directly or by contract any test or experiment involving the use of a chemical agent or biological agent on a civilian population or any other testing of a chemical agent or biological agent on human subjects. And then they talk about exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
And then subject to the subsection C, D, and E of this subsection, the prohibition in subsection A of this section does not apply to a test or experiment carried out for any of the following purposes: any peaceful purpose that is related to a medical, therapeutic, pharmaceutical, agricultural, industrial, or research activity. So I'm not going to go through this whole thing, but you can look it up on her site or go to, you know, on the internet and find it. But they say it's unlawful or prohibited, but then they turn around and okay it.
Yes, you can drive a Mack truck through those provisions that okay it.
Yeah.
And they did that on purpose because they wanted
sure.
to be able to conduct the experiments.
Sure.
So I
anyway.
Agree with you wholeheartedly. Although what's happening, though, in various states with their penal codes, you all have, there's a New York penal code, there's a California penal code, there's a Nevada penal code, and it's state laws. And under state laws, some of them are more restrictive than federal laws about someone dumping, releasing, doing something that would impact the populace. And there are laws against that in those states. And what we have to do is bring them to the attention of our elected officials and say, you've got grounds to put a stop to this because it's against the law in our state. And our state, the state of California, for example, doesn't say that the military can do this or anybody else can do this. No private individual, no corporation. There's no one that's allowed in California to do this. And this is why we're going to push the California Penal Code here in the next month, as far as seeing if we can get a resolution passed which backs up the California Penal Code and starts to talk about these issues under California state law. So this is going to be an interesting, what we're going to be doing here is going to be quite interesting, and in some other states as well.
Well, that's great that you guys are doing this because it's long overdue. I guess the purpose for bringing that up, it's good that you're venturing into state law to help stop this, but I guess the general purpose, what I've discovered is the whole United States is a joke. It is here to benefit corporations in basic terms. That's what the United States has been about always. And what my research is, I wrote the Red Amendment, the book The Red Amendment, and that refers to the 14th Amendment, which totally changed our political system and the laws of the United States. And part of that change gave corporations power equal to people, and basically it's taken over the people's power. And, of course, there's still states' rights, as you had mentioned. There's ways of thwarting what these guys are doing, but... The whole system's a mess, and I agree that this is only going to be done through local activism. And, you know, I'm glad you're aware of these bigger groups or organizations being infiltrated by the same corporate people that are destroying us and, you know, are just, they're criminals, period. That's all I can say about it. Anyway, thank you for your work.
Oh, well, thank you. And also, keep up the good work, because it's going to take all of us working together to do this.
Sure.
Exactly. Rosalyn, I do have another caller.
Sure.
And, in fact, a couple.
Okay.
Rex, your mic is live. You had a question for Rosalyn?
Yeah, Rosalyn. Where are they landing and refueling or refurbishing their supplies for these chemtrails? Now, I live in the Midwest, Minnesota, and we have an Air Force base at Minot, and we have one at Rapid City, South Dakota, and a small one at Sioux Falls, South Dakota. If we could find out where these planes are landing and see who's doing what and confiscating the supplies, maybe we'd have a chance of bringing it to a head locally.
I think you're going to find that most of it comes off private companies, or it comes from the military bases, because no one else has the money, the fuel, the capability of contracting all these planes, the pilots. All of these things have to be put into consideration. So it has to be coming out of our tax dollars, and I cannot tell you which air base precisely they're coming out of, but they have to be flying, because the intraflights here on the FAA maps, and I have them online on the Jet Trail section. You can look at the FAA maps for Northern California, Mendocino County, where I live, And you can see that there's very few commercial flights going over us, that the main impact is these military jets. And no one has the money. I mean, private corporations are not going to fly unless they're hired and contracted and given the money to fly. So I'm going to put this right back, for the most part, on military experiments, NASA experiments, and all coming out of our tax dollars.
Cheryl and Rosalind, you know, this is Hadi in Reno. You know, I know that for a fact that an airport in Reno states cloud seeding program. So, and it's right next to a military base. So I'm thinking, you know, that just when you said that, Rosalind, it made me think it is military probably.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And the reason is because these weather modification companies don't do this voluntarily. They all get paid for their work. And you can go look. The Texas Weather Modification Board gave a permit to a company called Sky Blue. It's SCIBLUE. And in one place, it's listed as the United States Air Force. They told the Texas Weather Modification Board that they were a weather modification company. But, however, on one website, they're listed as United States Air Force Classified Area, and on the other site, they're just listed as Sky Blue with the exact same address and location. So, and this is in Colorado. Anyone can go and Google SCIBLUE, and up it will pop, and you'll get two listings, one for the U.S. Air Force and one for this company. But they walked in and they said that they would modify the weather and got a permit to modify the weather in Texas and then didn't do the job but wanted to get paid for a weather modification program in Arizona. And the Texas Weather Modification Board says, no, I don't think so. You didn't provide us your jet, man hours, and all the things that you were supposed to be doing modifying the weather in Texas, and Arizona is definitely not Texas, and we're not paying you. So this is something that everybody has to know is going on, and it takes money to run these programs and do all this.
And speaking of it takes money, Lawrence, do you have a comment there?
Well, you know I do, Cheryl.
Sorry,
yes,
the time is perfect.
Well, this is what I'm all about, is getting down to the nuts and bolts of the whys and wherefores of everything that exists and also how to stop it. And so this is why I have worked and developed on, once I realized, the ultimate weapon of mass destruction as far as controlling humanity in this country and the world over, is money. Simple. You know, you take away the funding from these people, you take away their ability to have an unlimited tax base of the people's credit at their disposal without the people's okay. You take away the government ability to have excessive taxes or have a free credit for themselves based on the people's credit to write themselves a free check that they can use to further their power and agenda. And for the bankers to create debt money and these kind of things, you stop all of this. I mean, it will stop dead cold. The Regal Exchange is the reality of a gentleman that wrote prolifically back in the 1930s, 40s, and early 50s. This man was a genius. He was a visionary, just like Nikola Tesla, Einstein. All the great people that we so much respect, well, Mr. E.C. Regal was in that same category. His thing was monetary theory and its relationship to liberty, freedom, prosperity, equity, justice, peace, and balance on the earth. And nobody, I've studied for 3,500 years in monetary theory in my research. Read every great book in monetary theorist and great economist from past to present. Studied all kind of alternative currency things that have been efforted at bringing forward to determine where they failed and why they failed. And this gentleman had it dead cold on fact as regards everything. And I, for whatever reason, this little country boy took it upon myself that my last dying breath, my effort is to bring forward the truth that Mr. Regal so clearly and absolutely established, because this is the ultimate answer that is inherent in each and every living human being on Earth. In the normal day-to-day process of exchange, of taking away the political monetary system from the power of government to manipulate and control, and away from the bankers, giving them the power to control government, and also to take from all the wealth that the people create a huge, huge percentage to bring forward their own and further their stealing and rape and pillage of the people as a parasite. So, yes, I've got lots to say here, and I applaud Rosalind, because what she's doing is so incredibly important in raising awareness, also establishing facts as to what we can do present and need to be doing. My only addition to that is to encourage people to realize the fact that when and if the people decide to really change things and to stop this and bring forward a better world, so that we don't have to worry about this kind of crap continuing on at a future time, even if we stop it short term, if we don't take the money power, if we don't take charge of the issuance and control of money and a monetary system, these things will never change. They might for a little while, but they'll come right back. And we have to change things, and the money system is where the ultimate remedy and answer long-term, short-term and long-term lies. So that's my two cents worth, and I thank you so much, Rosalind, for your brilliance and everything that you're doing. It's just incredible.
Well, thank you very much for your kind words.
Lawrence is going to present a full two-hour program on Freedomizer Radio on the 1st of November about the Regal Exchange. So if anyone is interested in that, please drop me a line at cthepower@gmail.com, the letter cthepower@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to get that information to you. We have a question, and it's popped up through the chat room several times. Is how do we deal with those who are operating outside the law?
Well, for one thing, if they're operating outside the law or we have no laws to restrict them, then we have to turn around and pass the laws to restrict them, or find what laws we do have and impose the laws of the state of California or the federal government to remind them that they're disobeying the laws. And there are a lot of laws that are there on the books. And this is one that I just want to read to you really quickly. It's very short. Title 10 of the California Penal Code, and it's crimes against the public health and safety. And it's in our penal code, and the sheriff has to enforce the law here. He cannot not enforce the law. And what it says in section 375.A, it shall be unlawful to throw, drop, pour, deposit, release, discharge, or expose or attempt to throw, drop, pour, deposit, release, discharge, or expose in, upon, or about any theater, restaurant, place of business, place of amusement, or any place of public assemblage, any liquid, gaseous, or solid substance or matter of any kind which is injurious to person or property or is nauseous, sickening, irritating, or offensive to any of the senses. And that's the law in the state of California. And we're going to work toward enforcing California state law here, and it's going to be one of the many things we're doing, along with other EPA laws, we're going to do here to pass resolutions to put a stop to what's going on in our skies. And we're quite serious about this. We're passing some really strong resolutions in other states as well, And people are beginning to work at the grassroots level and say, we're not going to vote for you unless you are educated and are going to take up this issue. And you're going to speak about it in public and during debates, etc. And if you're not willing to speak out, then we're not going to vote for you because our vote is precious and we're not going to waste it on someone who isn't going to represent us. And we have to start telling our elected officials that that we, the people, we're, our vote is not for sale and that we have issues that they need to address. And I can tell you it works because our congressman here in Mendocino County, Mike Thompson, he went to work to help us thwart the Navy from putting in a five-year warfare testing program here in Mendocino County in Northern California, Oregon, Washington, and Idaho. And we had a pitch battle with the Navy for over 2.5 years on this issue. And I can tell you right now that our congressman realized that his constituents were not going to reelect him unless he drove this issue through, in other words, on our behalf. So it works. But we need more than just one person. We need lots of people who are going to hear the same message. And if they begin to hear the same message, then we will all make a difference.
Yes. Cheryl, this is LB again.
Yes.
I just want to back up what she's saying. The people of Colorado have been fighting with the Army because they're trying to take a lot of land out there in Colorado. And they've been active, and they've been going to the legislature, and the legislature's been fighting the issue, and they're holding them off. And the main problem I see with all our woes, for lack of better words, is the lack of unity. And we have to figure out who is the best of each field and bring all those people underneath that are doing the same type things and have them work under the best and get this movement stronger. Like we've discussed, there's a lot of facets that have to be, you know, brought together to make this all work. And anyway, again, Rosalind, thank you so much for this information. It's just great.
Well, I hope you have a similar laws in your state. Because I know they do in other states, so hopefully you can find it, and it takes a little research, but there has to be laws that say that people can't do this.
Right. I'm in the same state as Floyd is.
Oh, okay.
Unluckily. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, they're blitzing us here the last week. The jets have been working us over really terribly, so... we have black clouds, we've got black contrails, we've got, it's just been a mess. And they've been hitting us hard, though, actually, since September this year. Earlier in the year they did, too, but they've really come after us since September. And we've been, especially the last couple of months, they've hit us pretty hard here. We're seeing less and less blue sky days.
Yeah, I've seen that in Southern California as well. It seemed like from June until late August, we had very few trails in the sky. And then all of a sudden, it's hit us very, very hard once again. So what basically you're saying is that we need researchers in every state pulling together to find the laws and then banding together. It just seems like you are the hub of information, my dear.
Well, that's why I put together these, that's why I put all these things on the website so people could look at the health effects and look at solar power and look at all these issues and then be able to talk about what's really happening. In other words, they don't have to guess. They can look at the documents and see what's really happening. And that's the reason I put it together and put it online for everyone.
I did want to mention the PowerPoint presentation that you put together. Can you direct people how to find it on your website so they can peruse that and take it to their local town meetings, et cetera?
Yes. On October 23rd this year, I did a presentation in Aptos, California on the jets and geoengineering. both the PowerPoint presentation and that presentation that I did, the video, is online on my website. And they can go to the geoengineering section, current events. It's geoengineering current events. And it's the first video when they scroll down just a bit on there. And the PowerPoint presentation is there as well.
Thank you. There are also flyers that are prepared there for you with vital information directing people to the website for further information that you can print off and use for general awareness. But the PowerPoint presentation, I was just very impressed with the amount of work that you put into it. And it really takes somebody who, it gives somebody who has a passion for this subject something meat and potatoes put together by an expert yourself. So thank you very much for that.
Oh, you're welcome. And also, I wrote the PowerPoint presentation so that people would not be guessing about what these things meant. And in the geoengineering section, I back up the statements that were made within that PowerPoint presentation as well. So you'll be able to find that information quite easily, I think. If not, just let me know and I'll let you know where it is.
Okay, very good. We do have another caller, and I'm not going to try and pronounce your last name. I've only heard it once or twice. Paul, your mic is live, sir.
Okay, thank you. This is Paul Griepentrog from Wisconsin. I live in the state of sin, like LB and some of the other callers. And I don't know if you remember me, Roslyn, but we did talk briefly a while back, and I arranged for you to be on a radio show there in Colorado.
Yes.
Okay, and then you were mentioning, I just got on the call, I had another call prior to this, and you were mentioning about pursuing the information in the states, and actually the state of Wisconsin requires a license and a permit and quarterly records and reports for all weather modification, including if the federal government does it.
That's great. Because we know that the jets, the military jets, are modifying the weather. NASA makes that quite clear.
Right. And when I did an open records request for this information, this is all present under Wisconsin statute in our code, section 9335 and Agriculture Trade and Consumer Protection Code 5406. It spells it out, and it says they absolutely have to give these to the public. The law actually requires that if they're going to do this, they have to broadcast it on radio and television stations that they're doing it. And even the federal government has to have a permit, and they're subject to open records. It took them 6 weeks to produce the documents, and I had to call them and do a reminder. And what I got back was is that they have no records whatsoever that any of this has ever taken place, which is significant because the spraying that goes on in Wisconsin is obvious to anyone, and it also means that they're operating ultra vires without authority.
Yes, and see, the thing is that with NASA clearly making the statement and all quite clearly in many of their documents that the jets are changing the climate and they're changing the weather, then because this is true, and also there's a letter on the weather modification section of my website which will help you, because it talks about the liabilities of downwind of other weather modification programs that are ongoing and the impacts. And the reason that our government doesn't want us to know, and also these local entities and private corporations don't want us to know that they're modifying the weather, and the meteorologists don't tell us, is because they could be sued for damages and liability losses.
Well, and the state would have liability in case of that, as well as the state's primary purpose under the police powers is to protect the lives and the property of its citizens.
Yes.
That's its primary purpose, and they're failing this. and trying to avoid it under the presumption that somehow, and I've read various federal laws that seem to override this for the purpose of experimentation. However, the federal reach into the states kind of got their hands slapped back in June with the rendering the unanimous decision in the Supreme Court in U.S. versus Bond. And each of us, the Supreme Court ruled that each of us are tenants to our state sovereignty. And we can raise the issue if they cause us an, a takings, if we endure a loss.
Uh-huh. Well, this is a good thing, actually. This is not bad because, you see, the thing is that we even have letters from the federal government, the U.S. government, science and technology advisor and others, who have talked about our weather modification programs and who have discussed this in the terms of liability issues. And so when you have states like, for example, California, Nevada, Idaho, Montana, North Dakota, Wyoming, Utah, Colorado, Kansas, New Mexico, Canada, and the state of Mexico all modifying the weather, in other words, it's going to have impacts as these systems move toward you.
Well, absolutely.
Also, you had a boundary, let's see, and I have one thing about Kansas. There was, they did do a few experiments years ago in Kansas, and then I think that they went haywire, so they sort of stopped them, but... Kansas has had some history of this as well in the past, and so has Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's correct.
So has Wisconsin, but it was a long time ago.
Well, and the irony here is that this, there was this long delay time, and usually open records requests are within 10 days is deemed reasonable. And what brought concern to me is why did they take 6 weeks, and was that for the purpose of dumping whatever they did have? And then they've been avoiding all calls since then. They've been denying that they're responsible. The Department of Natural Resources here says they're not responsible yet. They're in charge of maintaining water quality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I began the, an increase in aluminum in my soils here on this farm. And
the interesting thing is if they're responsible for water quality, that's getting into your water too. So they should be pushed to take action.
Absolutely. But they all turn, it's like they don't want to open that door because there's a boogeyman behind it and they know he's there.
I think so. one of the things Senator Kay Bailey Hutchison of Texas has tried to introduce a weather modification bill every year since 2005, and we have worked really hard to defeat this bill. And the Executive Office of the President of the United States Science and Technology Policy, the head, his name is Marburger. What he did is he wrote a letter about her bill, and he said, local, political, and legal ramifications. Because small-scale weather modification, example, cloud seeding, may promote rain in one area to the detriment of another, weather modification could result in interstate, including Indian tribes, litigation or private citizen litigation against the modification programs. The legal and liability issues pertaining to weather modification and the potential adverse consequences on life, property, and water resource availability resulting from these weather modification activities must be considered fully. And they didn't want to have her do a new weather modification research funding program. And it says, small and large-scale weather modification efforts could benefit the United States to the detriment of other countries, et cetera, et cetera. And also other states as well. So the letter is online for anyone to read it. and under the weather modification section. But the reason that they're not talking about, for example, in even the states I named, the meteorologists never talk about weather modification programs. The reason that they don't is because then there could be liability issues against those perpetrating these programs when one place is in a drought or has too much rain, et cetera, et cetera, so, or too much snow versus not enough snow. So they keep quiet about this. But some of the adverse weather conditions are caused by weather modification programs, and that's admitted in a lot of the documents you would find on that section.
Great. That answers the question that's posed in the chat room about chemtrailing and its associated effects in the weather. I have Will Spencer on the line with us. I know that you guys have talked before, and he has a question for you. Go ahead, Will.
We're finding in the air samples these fibers, nanoparticles, and biologicals. We're finding them all the same items coming out of people's bodies. Have you found any government programs that are stating to substantiate the appearance of these fibers and nanoparticles, especially these almost transistor, electronical component looking devices that are in the air but also coming out of people's bodies?
I'm not an expert on Morgellons, and this hasn't been a field that I've done much investigating in, so you would find very little on my websites to be able to help you with those issues. I do know that people are finding them. I just have not had the time to do the research because other people are doing that type of research, and I just haven't engaged in it because I don't have any proof that there's any programs. When I've been looking at what the Jets have been doing in research since 2002, I just couldn't find anything in my research which led me down to following that path. So I've really tried to stay on an agriculture and human health aspect as far as the implications for lack of direct sunlight reaching the earth, lack of photosynthesis, food supplies, those type of things. And but I haven't done any investigation on that myself, so I wouldn't be an expert to be able to speak on that issue.
Okay, because I got an email that was forwarded from you, and I believe it's on your website, about the GOMEX project that's occurring in the Gulf of Mexico. And then I was looking through the contents of that on how they're calling it a research project and all that to destroy the Gulf, but they're using these biologicals in part of that, and we're finding these mysterious flu outbreaks as well as these other biological things happening. At least they're being reported to me, and so they're just the GOMEX project in the Gulf is the only one that you've this biological warfare research project that's continuing, or is this also part of the geoengineering thing? Because we're finding similar biologicals in Idaho and Oregon and Wisconsin and in Pennsylvania, as well as around the Gulf of Mexico.
The U.S. Navy has instituted 16 individual five-year warfare testing programs starting in 2008. And some in 2009, some are on the boards to start any time. And this is the map, the U.S. Navy map is on the U.S. Navy map of all of the 16 ranges are on my website. Those are Navy maps, by the way, compliments of my U.S. congressman. But the range complexes, each box shown on the map, these are individual range complexes. And each one is has its own EIS, Environmental Impact Statement, and they're all about the same. The verbiage in all of them is about the same. The type of weapons testing, new weapons testing, and research testing that they're going to be doing. And they're going to destroy, according to their own records, about 11.7 million marine mammals, including the Gulf of Mexico, and that's called the GOMEX program. But they're all along the Atlantic seaboard. They're in the Hawaiian Islands right now. They're testing in Southern California, Northern California, Oregon, Washington, Idaho. There's also ranges in the Marianas Islands where we're doing five-year warfare testing. This is sonar bomb blast missile exercises. And if you go to my U.S. Navy website, there's a comprehensive, There's comprehensive documentation on all 16 of the U.S. Navy warfare testing programs.
Are you noticing also any an increase in upper respiratory and neurological disorders? Because I've been getting a lot of people calling and new clients coming in with these problems, and it seems to be mostly these biological as well as the heavy metal related and the chemical related issues.
I'm getting calls from all over the United States. I'm not a medical doctor, but I get calls from people, and I also get calls from dentists and other types of doctors who are calling me because the explosion in upper respiratory problems, sore throats, nasal, nose trouble, the short-term memory loss, disorientation, odd types of lethargy, dizziness, headaches. There's a whole range of things that are beginning to bother people all across the United States as well as here. So we're seeing a definite increase in these types of problems, and people are calling because they're getting scared or they're having the symptoms. So it's getting worse. It's not getting any better.
Thank you, Roger.
Well, yeah, thank you. That was I learn more every time I listen to you, and you've been a tremendous inspiration for me. I put a page on my website about all of these things, and your information was first and foremost for people to study. And after listing four or five other credible references, I asked people to, if they wanted to dig deeper, to go back to your website, because the information that you provide gives all of us credibility when we talk and we use the information that you've provided. So thank you very, very much. We're having a wonderful, wonderful response in the chat room, people saying, thank you, Rosalind. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So there you go.
Well, tell them that if we all work together, we can bring this to an end. And also thank everyone that's in your chat room for their kind words and thoughts.
You bet. You bet. I know that we are planning a program on Thursday, also Freedomizer Radio, at 10 in the morning. And that will be with Will Spencer, and we will be discussing the health issues surrounding the weather modification and geoengineering and how that has health on a very deep level. So I hope that people will join us for that program as well. We're kind of way past our time to take a break, so I'd like to do that. And then we'll have about 15 minutes or so to wrap up. So if you'd like to gather your thoughts, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Has there ever been a time or an incident in your life where reality was altered? Thousands of people all over the world are now questioning our very existence on this planet. We want answers. Answers that cannot be found in books, internet, television, or wise men. Have we come to a point of realization man cannot be trusted to give us answers because the very foundation of truth are corrupt. Don't be despair, people. Questions can be answered by the spirit within, or places we do not even know of. It's all part of the waking up from the matrix, people. So wake up with me, Monarca, a.k.a. Zero Sister, on Answers from Another Realm, Sunday, only on Freedomizer. It's up to you to find the answers.
Looks like it was going to be a couple-minute break. My computer isn't really cooperating very well here. Why will this take off any second? Cover us up. Okay, well, I guess we're going to skip that and just come back and wrap up the show. So, do you have any other questions or comments, Will, for Roslyn, so we can...
Not tonight. I have just some health things, but we can cover all that on Thursday. I want to say thank you to Roslyn and keep up the good work, because she's right. We have to band together. Because alone, this is impossible, really, to make a dent. But together, we can hold these people.
Hey, y'all, this is Ron with Ron's Media Matrix. Be sure to tune into Ron's Media Matrix, brought to you by the Freedomizer Radio Network, every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. My co-host and I will cover a range of interesting topics, including current events.
Yeah, it just decides to work when it wants. I do have another caller, and she is has a question about weather-based derivatives. Anne, would you like to address that?
Yeah, I know that there's dozens of private companies with public partnerships operating hundreds of weather modification programs and experiments. I know also that there's been financial instruments created, weather-based derivatives, presently being traded in Chicago on the Mercantile Exchange, and I have no idea how big that market is.
The market is in the billions, with a B, billions of dollars. And I can tell you that it's relatively new, since the late 1990s. They started to be able to bet on the weather. Then all of a sudden they changed it just in the last couple of years and decided to bet on rain and snowfall totals. Well, the claim was that the weather was acted in odd ways, and therefore no one would be able to forecast the weather. However, there's so many weather modification companies, and there's projects in Texas. You could just bet, go to the Texas Weather Modification Board information, and you could bet on their programs, and or you could go to the NOAA listing on my website, and you can bet on their programs, because they actually tell you the location of the program, whether they enhance rain or snow. They tell you the location, the area, all the information is all there, which state, which company is doing it. And all these companies can bet on the weather. And if I had the money, I could hire a weather modification company to enhance the rain over Wisconsin, for example. And at this particular juncture in time, then I could bet on it. Because if I'm going to seed the clouds and make it rain more, I can bet that I'm going to make it rain more in the month of December, and therefore I can make a killing on the stock market. So these companies, the people that do the weather modification companies, the cities, the states, the private individuals, the corporations engaged, can all make a killing on the stock market, and it's a multi-billion dollar industry in the last few years. So, but it's pretty, it's not a secret for some that we can bet on the weather and that we know what weather is going to be changed or enhanced.
Okay. The other question I have here in the chat room is GEO's connections to Dow Chemical or other chemical companies like Alcoa. Are you familiar with any of those connections?
Not directly, no, but I'm sure that someone has done the research and could do the direct links. I just haven't been engaged along that line particularly because I know that one of the projects they do is to take water vapor is required for turning aluminum oxide gas into particulates in the atmosphere. And so part of it is that it would be where they get the aluminum oxide gas to put into the system. So there's all kinds of methods that could be used. So I don't know if they're buying, I know they buy chaff. The U.S. Air Force buys aluminum-coated fiberglass particulates or chaff. And then when they put it in their planes, the bundles of chaff are cut up by a machine before they're released. And that's how those types of particulates get into the atmosphere. And they float for around 20, 30 hours before they come back down to Earth. And that's strictly 500 tons a year by the U.S. military is the amount of aluminum-coated fiberglass particulates that are dropped on us every year, have been for years and years.
It's incredible that one of the things that I have seen come across the news is that Monsanto is now creating genetically modified plants that are resistant to aluminum.
In soil.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's correct. And so part of the geoengineering scheme is that they're joining forces with the genetically modifying companies and the chemical companies. So they're a conglomerate that's moving together because they're all falling under a geoengineering umbrella.
Okay. That makes perfect sense. Roslyn,
Are you familiar? About 2 years ago, it surfaced mostly in Georgia, and then they were going to initiate programs in other states where they're going to produce raw milk with grass-fed cattle. Not that that's all that unusual, but they were intending to use something called a matrix-based seeding device to establish genetically engineered grasses and clovers. And when I researched what that was, it was using nanoparticles as a DNA delivery system.
Probably, because there's a lot of research and a lot of work done, and they can turn particles into nano-sized particles pretty easily, much more easily than anyone would have believed. So, yes, I fully believe that that's quite possible.
Well, and actually they were going to use the nanoparticles as carriers for the DNA to, you know, effectively what it would do is whatever was living there previously would be converted to the grass materials. Fortunately, the major international corporation that was doing this in Georgia has now lost government monies and approval, and it's kind of falling apart now.
Oh, that's good. Good news.
Yeah,
for Georgia.
It's always nice, you know, when they run out of money.
Yeah.
Well, we know that these are all interconnected, and it just seems like we can get deeper and deeper into this subject. I would love to have you on again, Roslyn, if you would be willing.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I'm going to release a new paper I've just completed on this topic, and anytime that you might like to have me back on, that would be great.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, we put together a 2-day event, you know, kicking off with the radio program tonight and people getting out with their flyers tomorrow. So we'll be following up on a later program with progress reports that we get from various people and what they've been doing to spread the word.
So
that's great.
Yeah.
You'll let me know, right?
Oh, you bet. You bet. So thank you very much again for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you for having me as a guest on your show. It's an honor to be here with you.
Well, thank you so much. It's been wonderful. And I know that what we have started here tonight is just another step on the rung for people who are just getting started to understand what we are facing. And it's another step on a different staircase for people who are already well acquainted with your work. So we made a lot of progress tonight. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. I would like to say that we are going to be working on some new projects here at Team Free State. And one of those is self-governance and getting back into the habit of governing ourselves and not allowing someone else to do it. So that's what the plans are for us in the very near future. I hope that you will tune in to this program again. We're here on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Pacific time, and followed by the Sabbath hour, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And did you want to sum things up and sign us off?
Yeah, the only thing that I'd like to see in the end is that our environment is being used for physics experiments, and we, the people, have to say, no, not anymore, because our children and our grandchildren and our health is going to be at stake with more and more of these types of experiments. So I hope that everyone joins together, begins to make your vote count, and begins to educate others on this topic, and to say no to the physics experiments going on around us, because our best interests aren't being served with a lot of these experiments, and we can make a difference if we work together.
Very good. Well, thank you, everyone, for coming by today. We really appreciate it. Look on CaliforniaSkyWatch.com. And I always want to mix up the words for your other website.
Yeah, it's agriculturedefensecoalition.org.
Thank you. And find the documents there that you need to feel credible when you stand in front of your legislators. Don't let them get away with saying, I don't know what weather modification is. I don't know what it is that you're talking about. Because as in this day and age, if they don't know what those things are, they don't belong in office supporting and representing you. So thank you, everyone, for joining us today. And we look forward to our program on Thursday with Will, getting deeper and deeper into the health effects from chemtrails and other environmental issues. And we will see you again next week. Thank you all. God bless.
Same to all of you.